Good evening, one and all. Welcome to our Wednesday evening church service. Welcome to those here in the room and to those that are online and to those that will be listening to the recorded service. Praise God that we're here, and praise God that He's in control of all things, and that we're especially one day closer to getting off of this wicked world and having heaven as our home. And what a precious and joyous time that will be. Our opening song is entitled Sweet By and By. And the link is lightministries.com/ID1926.htm. So, Sweet By and By. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessings of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer a tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And indeed, what a beautiful time that will be. I ask you to please bow your heads and please kneel as far as you're able to do so for our opening prayer for tonight's meeting. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, for thy tender love, for thy watchful care over each one of us. And thank you, Father, especially for leading and guiding us into the truth, away from darkness and into the marvelous light as it shines from the face of our beloved Savior. We give you full and complete control of tonight's meeting. Please help us to see and understand things that we may have not understood before, and help us to continue to grow in grace and to be that much more prepared to share our faith with others, and especially to live the life of our Savior in our own lives. Thank you for being here. We pray that our Savior will be here as well, and the Holy Spirit, and be abiding guests with us and throughout the remaining part of this week until we all gather back together again to worship Thee and to fellowship with one another on the blessed Sabbath. Again, thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being here with us now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, for the first part of tonight's meeting, we'll continue to read through the article that we're looking for spiritual insight from on how to witness for Christ that we began two Wednesdays ago. And let me go ahead and put it here into the room. The actual link is lightministries.com/SDA/ID1336.htm. So, Witnesses for Christ. And welcome once again to one and all that are here and are on the phone. We're down at the sixth paragraph, and you have to scroll down. It starts out, "Do the believers who meet in their small assemblies in humble churches?" So it's the sixth paragraph down from the article, Witnesses for Christ. And this is taken from the Review and Herald of September 10, 1895. "Do the believers who meet in their small assemblies in humble churches or in private houses often look upon this picture framed by the Lord of Hosts?" About this book of remembrance that was written before him? "Do they hang it in memory's hall and contemplate it with hope and joy and courage? What a hope-inspiring picture is this, where the Lord is represented as bending down and hearkening to the testimonies borne by his witnesses. What inspiration it should give us to consider the fact that all the heavenly universe is represented as listening with pleasure to the words that are spoken exalting the name of God in the earth. They may not be words of oratory, and they are not words that express doubt, unbelief, and complaint, for such words do not honor the Redeemer. The words to which God and the angels listen with delight are words of appreciation for the great gift that has been made to the world in the only begotten Son of God. Every word of praise for the blessing of the light of truth, which has come in messages of warning and which has dispelled the darkness of error, is written in the heavenly records." So God doesn't delight in words of oratory or in words that express doubt or unbelief or complaint, but he listens to the humble praises of his people that are born to him through grateful hearts for the sacrifice that Christ made for them and also for the light of truth that has shone upon them. And each and every one of these honest-hearted praises to God are written in the heavenly record books. That book of remembrance that was written before the Lord for them that feared him and thought upon his name. And what a privilege and an honor, dear one, to have your name registered there in connection with praises that you've given to God from grateful hearts. For our God is indeed worthy, worthy of far more than we could ever praise him for. So praise be to God for his marvelous gift in sending us his Son, Jesus Christ. And praise be to God for allowing us to understand his message of truth. Praise be to our Father for not leaving us in darkness, but for bringing us out of darkness into the marvelous light as it shines from the beloved face of our Savior. So the words which God and the angels listen with delight are words of appreciation for the great gift that has been made to the world in the only begotten Son of God. And every word of praise for the blessing of the light of truth which has come in messages of warning and which has dispelled the darkness of error is written in the heavenly record books. That book of remembrance. So even though God doesn't forget, His memory isn't faulty like your and mine is, yet every praise that comes to God from an honest, grateful heart is written in that book of remembrance. And what a joy it will be to see your name there. Not just to praise God to have your name there, but to recognize that God appreciates and was listening to and kept a record of your grateful praises to Him that sitteth on the throne and to the Lamb. Not a single praise is lost. Continuing. Every word that acknowledges the merciful kindness of our Heavenly Father in giving Jesus to take away our sins and to impute to us His righteousness is recorded in the book of His remembrance. Testimonies of this kind show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Of such witnesses, the Lord says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So when we express to God from a grateful, loving heart, all that He has done for us in making possible our salvation, what He's done for us in snatching us away from the dark kingdom of the wicked one and brought us into the glorious light and bright kingdom of righteousness. All of those praises, including our name for giving them, are written in that book. And when the Lord comes, all those that are written in that book that remain faithful to God are going to be as jewels that God will spare because we are His sons and His daughters. Praise God, dear ones, from whom all blessings flow. And may we continue to praise Him each and every day, for He is worthy. Are there any thoughts or comments before we move on, dear ones? Okay, the next paragraph would be paragraph number 7 on the article Witnesses for Christ. The fact that the Lord is represented as hearkening to the words spoken by His witnesses tells us that Jesus is in the midst of us. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. One person is not to do all the witnessing for Jesus, but everyone who loves God is to testify of the preciousness of His grace and truth. So how many people are to witness for Christ? Is it just the minister or the elder or the deacons? Is it just the Bible workers or the missionaries? It's everyone who loves God. If you love God, you have a testimony for God. that you can share with others. So each and every one of us are to share with others the things that God has done for us, why we love Him, what He has done for our souls. That's what we're to share, so that others can also see and understand that if God loves their friends, then God can love them as well. If God can love their family members, then God can love them as well. If God can love someone who has sold themselves to sin for so many years and then has woken up through the merciful kindness and long-suffering of God, then He can wake them up and express His love for them as well. That way, the testimony that we bear to others is not a dry testimony. It's not a dead testimony that we heard someone else give. It's our own testimony. It's a living testimony. So it's not something that we read to them. We're expressing to them how we've lived through it, what God has done for me. And they see that God can do the same thing for them. It's a living testimony. So each and every one of us are witnesses for God. So one person is not to do all the witnessing, but everyone who loves God is to testify of the preciousness of His grace and truth. Amen. A living testimony, because you lived it. Continuing. Those who receive the light of truth are to have lesson upon lesson to educate them not to keep silent, but to speak often one to another. That's how we get our name in that book of remembrance. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon His name. So those who receive the light of truth, you and me, are to have lesson upon lesson to educate them not to keep silent, but to speak often one to another. They are to keep in mind the Sabbath meeting, when those who love and fear God and who think upon His name can have opportunity to express their thoughts in speaking one to another. That's one reason why, when church is over, we don't leave. We stay and we fellowship and we commune with one another and we talk with one another. Those are precious opportunities for speaking to one another of the things that God has done for you and hearing testimonies from others on what God has done for them. Amen. It's a beautiful time. It's what helps bind us, unites us one with each other in brotherly and sisterly love. It's what helps to edify our faith and to build up our spiritual life in the Lord. One of the benefits that the children of Israel had when they came together three times a year at the temple at Jerusalem, for the different feasts that they had, was they got to fellowship one with another and express to one another what the Lord had been doing for them since the last time that they met. And as an antitype of these feast day gatherings, we have the ability to have camp meetings or weekend get-togethers in which we can come together at set times throughout the year in different places across the country or even the world and be able to share with one another what the Lord has done for us since the last time that we met. Or if this is the first time that we're meeting, what God has done for us that we did not know about from others. And it would be nice to have a camp meeting. And we'll have to pray about it and keep that in mind. So they are to keep in mind God's followers, His witnesses, you and me. They are to keep in mind the Sabbath meeting when those who love and fear God and who think upon His name can have opportunity to express their thoughts in speaking one to another. Let not the little companies think that they can have no meeting when they have no minister. Let them not think that one of their members must stand in the pulpit and preach to them. The time and season are very precious. The assembled believers are in the audience chamber of the universe of heaven. They are to witness for God and the Lord Jesus Christ who gave His life for the world. Now, who is it saying that we're witnessing to here? It's not saying that we go out and witness to the community in these sentences that we're reading. It says that we're to witness for God and the Lord Jesus Christ to one another in our church gatherings. So witnessing for God can be done anywhere. It doesn't just have to be the picture of you going out door to door. That is witnessing. But that's not the only time you can witness for God. We can witness for Him right in our very midst, among our church members, among the visitors who come into our meetings, to one another. The assembled believers are in the audience chamber of the universe of heaven. Every time we meet together, including this meeting here, we are in the audience chamber of God. He's listening to everything that we're saying. He's noting the testimonies that we give regarding our love and appreciation for what He has done for us. So we are to witness for God and the Lord Jesus Christ who gave His life for the world. The little company are to do service to God by offering to Him spiritual worship. So what is one way to serve God? By worshiping Him. When there is no delegated minister to speak to the little companies, let each one witness to the truth and be faithful to speak often one to another of the love of God and thus train and educate the soul. So if for some reason I'm unable to come in the room, if for some reason Sister Rose or Sister Lynn or Brother Joel or others that have spoken up before in the room are unable to come in for some reason, does that mean that there's to be no meeting that takes place? Not at all. Begin taking control of the room yourself. Begin witnessing for God. Begin speaking one to another of what good things God has done for your soul. And God will bless your meeting with an abundant outpouring of His Spirit. So in other words, what God is trying to teach us here in this sentence, in this paragraph, is that we're not to depend upon the minister before we can witness for God. We're not to depend upon other leaders in our church group before we can witness for God. But if for some reason the minister isn't there, and none of the other ones that have taken a leadership role are there for some reason, then you can take the mic or text in your words of praise to God and a testimony, a living testimony of what God has done for you. And that way the meeting can continue to go forward, and you will be greatly blessed because of it. Because you're in the very audience chamber of God Almighty. And He longs to pour out a blessing upon you. And He longs to write your name in His book of remembrance, because He sees that you appreciate the great, infinite sacrifice that has been made for your salvation. So raise your voices in praise to God for the great love He's manifested for you. And that is music to the ears of our Father and our Savior, because they recognize that the great sacrifice they made was not in vain, because they hear the praises from grateful hearts of their people and followers. So these times and seasons in which we meet together are very precious. And we should all take more advantage of these times so that our spiritual lives do not dwindle away, but become built up and edified and bolstered with more and more gratefulness and appreciation and love to God. And God will pour upon us more and more abundantly His Spirit. And that cycle of being increased in spiritual life to share our gratefulness with others, and in turn to have God pour His Spirit upon us in greater measure so that we become even more spiritually alive, will just keep growing and growing and growing until we've partaken of the fullness of the latter rain, the outpouring of God's Spirit. And what is the greatest way to spread the loud cry across this world? It's true, it's with the silent messengers, the books and booklets and materials and audio sermons and so on. But it's especially through a living testimony. A testimony that's alive and is personal. That's how the loud cry is going forth, dear ones. It's going forth through you, through your voices, through your efforts, through your testimonies. And each one that you talk to, even if it's here in this church, is helping to spread God's glory. It's helping to finish the work. It's hastening the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's helping to increase your faith. So we are to witness for God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life for the world. The little company are to do service to God by offering to Him spiritual worship. When there is no delegated minister to speak to the little companies, let each one witness to the truth and be faithful to speak often one to another of the love of God, and thus train and educate the soul. Amen. That is true. That is true. We are nothing without Jesus. And with Jesus, then we are everything, because He has ordained each one of us to go forth and share with others what good things the Lord has done for our souls. So, as we witness one to another, even in this church room, we are educating and training ourselves to be better used by God in continuing to witness to others, in furthering His work. Continuing, let each one seek to become an intelligent Christian, bearing his responsibility and acting his personal part to make the meeting interesting and profitable. So again, if the scheduled meeting, say for Friday night, when 6 o'clock comes around, if for some reason I'm not there or other leaders are not there, then you take over. You begin to speak to others of the love of God and give a living testimony to them, and encourage others to also come up and give their testimony for God. And God will greatly bless you and bless your meeting and bless each one that participates with an abundant outpouring of His Spirit. Because you have, with your own voice, spoken words of gratefulness and appreciation and love to your God. And just in the fact of you doing that is training you to do it again. It's educating you on how to do it again. And it's allowing God to use you to do the work that He has chosen you to do, that I can't do for you, and Rose can't do for you, and Joel can't do for you, and none of the others in the room can do for you. Only you can do it, because it's a work that God has chosen only you to do. And no one else can do it for you. We each have our own work to do. And God will give us the grace and the strength to fulfill it, if we will just trust in Him and move forward in doing it.
Yes, dear brother, that's very well put. And I would like to encourage the brethren and those who are listening by phone, wherever this may apply. There may be times, and I speak as someone who's gone through these different times, there may be times when you might feel that, and I have to emphasize that word feel, because it's important to overcome that in what I'm about to say. You may feel that you're going through something in your life that negates you, causes you not to be worthy, so to speak, to share what God has given you in your life and how He's helped you to overcome, because you might be going through a difficult time at that particular time, or you feel you faltered and stumbled here or there, and yet a word has been placed in your heart to give at that time when brothers and sisters are gathered together. I need to encourage you, don't let the enemy take that away. Because in being obedient, though you may even be going through chastening, to give that word in season will only strengthen your obedience in the end and your faith in Christ's work in you. You have to be willing, even in the midst of the storm that you might be going through, or the sifting that might be happening to you. We need that. We as your brothers and sisters, we need to hear, how are you getting through that? How are you able to overcome that? And while you're in the midst of it, what do we have to expect from it? We need to hear that there is a hope, that there is encouragement, that even when you might be feeling like, oh my land, you've gone too far, and yet the Lord has placed on your heart a lesson in the midst of the spanking, give it. Give it, please. Because there are those of us within the body, we need to know how to overcome in many different ways. And we need to know that the Lord is right there in the midst of it all, at all times, at every single stage of our growth. And that He can even give us strength in the midst of our correction to stand and give Him praise and glory and honor. So I'm just saying, I don't know how that applies to whom it does, but I speak from that, from what the Lord continues to work in me in the midst of my tripping around and stumbling or whatever, how He is working out His will in me. I have to let you know, don't give up, and don't think that you don't have a word to share, or that you've just been so, how could I say, bound up by guilt that you can't share what the Holy Spirit may be putting on your heart to give somebody. Have faith in the love of God. Have faith in the love of Jesus. Have faith and give it. Because in the giving of that testimony, in the midst of what you're going through, you're going to bring more salvation to yourself and deliverance for others. So I just say that to encourage and build upon what the Lord gave Brother Roth to share.
Amen, brother. And dear ones, God has a special work for each one of us to perform. We were talking last Sabbath about the different parts of the body, the hand, the arm, the feet, etc., all coming together and making a complete package, a complete person that's able to go forward and do things that one body part separated from the rest cannot do. The hand cannot do the work of the feet. Neither can it do the work of the legs. It has its own work to do, its own place in the body, with its own particular methods and specialties and characteristics that none of the other body parts have. And when each part of the body functions in its proper sphere and place that God put it there to do, that God gave it the characteristics and the energy and the ability to perform its own work, then it accomplishes more together than what it could do alone. So each and every one of us here in this little church group, God has given each one of us different talents, different gifts, and different energy from above to fulfill those talents or those gifts. And as we begin to perform our own special work for the Lord in harmony with each other, it enables this little group to accomplish a vast amount more work for God than if we were isolated away from one another. But we each have a work to do. And if there is no church group that we can fellowship with, we're still to do that work. God chose you, dear one, to work for Him. And what God chooses for you to do, He'll give you grace and strength to fulfill it, to perform it to His glory. And if you don't do so, then he will hold you responsible for what work you could have done but did not do. So yes, praise God that he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise him for being so long-suffering for each one of us, not willing that any of us should perish, but that we could come to salvation. And in connecting ourselves with him, he then has a work that you, me, and all the others can fulfill. And if we don't do so, then someone is going to be left in darkness because of our neglect to do the work for God that he's called us to do. So there's no better time than now to begin working for God, to begin giving a testimony for him from a grateful heart. Because in giving that testimony, you are witnessing for him, and you are educating yourself, and you're being trained to do more for him. So this little company are each and every one of us to do service for God by offering to him spiritual worship, giving him praise, telling him how grateful we are for his love and his sacrifice and what he's doing for our souls. Because that is music to his ears, and it is edification for each one of us listening. Amen, sister. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and not praise you, but glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I want to praise God for his great love and mercy for me and my family. There are so many times when worse things could have happened to us that God has overruled and has kept us alive, has kept us moving forward, has kept us from being worse off than what we are. Praise my merciful God for his loving kindness. Continuing in the next paragraph, it says, "The world is not to hold the highest place in our esteem. God desires that we so train the intellect and the affections that we shall be able to render to him pure and holy service. We are to seek for precious jewels of truth as for hidden treasure. We are to have light that we may diffuse light to others. Those who do this will be among that company who think upon the name of the Lord and who speak often one to another. They will study the character of God and will become acquainted with the Redeemer. And as we become more and more acquainted with him, by beholding him, we will become changed into his image. By giving testimonies of what things God has done for us, we are helping others to become acquainted. We are helping others to behold the Redeemer and are helping them to become changed into his image." So when we meet together, we are to help one another see the Savior in a better way. And part of that is through studying the truth about the character of God, and part of that is giving testimonies of what the Savior has done for us. All of these methods are uplifting the Savior and allowing people to see him more clearly or in a different way than they may have not seen him before. It is helping each one of us to grow up into Christ, to become like him in character, so they will study the character of God and will become acquainted with their Redeemer. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Let the character of God be the theme of your thought, for the Lord Jesus calls the attention of his church to himself and would have his people think upon his name and impart the knowledge they receive of him to those who are around them, which can be your family, which can be your neighbors, or which can be here in this room, your fellow brothers and sisters. So are there any thoughts or comments, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. I was thinking about just pinpointing words like that began or were part of the paragraph that Elder Brother was giving or is giving a sermon on, train and educate the soul. The world is not to hold the highest place in our esteem. And when I think about these things, I think about how, and just from 2005 to now, what I've been through, what most, I think, of the brothers and sisters here and listening on the radio has been through, when you become a remnant, I'm almost like speechless, which is odd. If people know me, they would know. Sister Rose, who knows me. I'm just speechless because I feel like, oh, and the word that Elder Brother Bob had used, grow up in Christ, and how I feel like I remained a babe for so long because I wanted to hold on to the past, you know, mourning the death of so many loved ones, mourning the loss of not being a Seventh-day Adventist anymore, which was probably, I don't know if that was, I missed my grandmother more and mourned her more, or mourned the loss of not being a Seventh-day Adventist, and it was horrifying. And to go through this, and he brought me through, praise God, he brought me through the eye of the storm, and that's an understatement, as Sister Rose can tell you. And I'm just thanking him. And so I just feel right now, when I was on fire my first year as the SDA, I'm thinking, what am I now? It's just, it's mind-boggling. Thank you.
Amen, sister. Amen. And I know when I first came to the understanding of there being problems in the denominational church I was a part of, I could see it intellectually. I could see the evidence, and I weighed the evidence. I could see that it was fact. The church was apostate. It was corrupt. It was not heading in the right direction. They'd crucified the Lord. They'd shut the Holy Spirit out of the church and wouldn't let him back in. And it took a while for it to sink in. I could see it intellectually. I could understand it intellectually, but it took a while to sink in. And it didn't hit me until I started to share what I had learned with another person. And once I started to share with them what I had found out, it went from being intellectual to being part of me. And I recognized at that point what Christ must be going through. to have invested so much time and energy in raising up the Adventist people, having him going through October 22, 1844, going from the first apartment into the second apartment of the heavenly sanctuary, watching what effect it had upon those Advent believers from all denominations in, you know, in 1844. Watching the effect the message had on their hearts. Watching over the little groups that remained faithful to the truth and kept advancing in knowledge and understanding. And see this little group come together with others of like faith and start the beginning of the Adventist system. And then watching over it and sending rebukes and reproofs and encouragement and pouring the Spirit out and so on for all the many years. And then to see that church turn against him and crucify him and shut the Spirit out from working among the people and bringing men under bondage to men and telling them they can't work anywhere. They can't do the work that God would have them do until they got permission from the minister, who had to get permission from the conference superior above him, who had to get permission from the district director above him, and had to get permission from the general conference. And all the while that this permission levels were going on, the person would not work because they felt they didn't have the authority to go out and witness for God until man told them they could. And when I started to explain how the church had crossed the barrier and had become part of Babylon Fallen, it went from intellectual to now a part of me. And I broke down on the phone and cried because I recognized what a little bit of what my Savior was going through. But it was when I shared the truth I knew that it became part of me. It became a living testimony. And the same thing with each one of us, dear ones. It's when we share the truth that we know that it goes from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge. And now we know what to do. We need to share what we know with others so that they too can come into a more full knowledge of the truth and have a chance to be saved. Have that precious chance to witness for God, to uplift the Savior before men and before women, before children. And if we confess Christ before others, then he will confess our names before the Father. We'll be in that book of remembrance. We'll be spared destruction when our Savior comes. We'll be able to give that living witness that will spread the loud cry of Revelation 18 connected with Revelation 14. That will lighten this world with the glory of God, with the knowledge of salvation, with the true character of our Father and Savior, so that people can make their decisions for or against, the great controversy can end, Christ can come, and we can go home. But it all starts with you, dear one, sharing the truth you know to others.
I cannot say that I could fully relate because I know how immense was your work, dear brother, but I can be able to have a little glance of that experience. But the more I realize that the more that I share the convictions that I had of the truth, the more opposition and the more warfare was done. And instead of me sitting down and crying and moping about it, I needed to understand that now I have more responsibility, that if they didn't believe it, the only way that they could have seen it, we have to live the experience to let them know, yes, outside of the organization, you could stand for Jesus if Jesus is the one that is needed. And the pressure that you have, that you don't have any group of people, or you don't have a, per se, a minister or a pastor to be able to guide you, but the heaviness of the responsibility to know that, well, if I cannot tell them by words, or if, even if you're showing them by a doctor of the Lord or spirit of prophecy, they cannot, because you're the only one they talking to, and they see a majority of people behind them. Who are you to tell me what it is that's supposed to be going on in the organization, but you wasn't even a seven-day Adventist? Who are you? So the only thing that we can do, I had to hold on to Jesus for dear life and say, Lord, at this moment I have to be daring to be a Daniel. I'm going into a lion's den. I'm going against minister, pastors, laymen. You could say whatever it is, title, no title. The only thing I had was my conviction. But the heavy responsibility that was behind it is that if you can't say it by words, if you can't say it by even writing, live the experience before them so they can actually have the question. You go in a church every Saturday. You participate in every situation the church has. And yet, when we come together to study, they want to know where you got this information from when they have every book right in front of them. They got the book, they have the calling, they have everything. But I started to realize that knowledge is not wisdom. Knowledge is a lot of information that you get. But when you try to understand what was the purpose of those knowledge and what was supposed to be done, you will tremble to be able to realize the responsibility that you have. Just by the little light that the Lord gives you, you are responsible for that light and what you're going to do with it. And every time, I always try to think about how am I going to be able to help the other person. Because if I sit down and start thinking about me, I'm just going to wallow in my own situation and don't move. And that's exactly what the devil wants me to do. I just want to give a little testimony. Right after Sabbath, I have to do the nature walk with my son. And the group of the sisters come together and we meet at this path that we walk. As we walk the path, I know that there's a lot of people biking, but the whole thing about it, the scenery is beautiful. It's an area that is historical. They have a lot of habitat. And something caught my eye. I seen this group of greens that was just popping up like babies. But the way how the green was so rich, it just kept calling my attention. And I started to stop some people to ask them if they knew what it was. They had some college students that was jogging. No, I don't think it's a good idea for you to touch it. And then this other couple said, wow, it really looked like edible, looks good. So our next time we're passing again in the path, the Lord keep calling my attention towards it. So finally, this Saturday, after the Sabbath study, we always go with the rest of the family and kind of give the children a little bit of time in nature. And then I have to come back by that day and get called, because we have this little women's group that we end up continuing reading and studying after Sabbath. So that's why sometimes I have to leave early. But anyway, as I got close to it, because the way how it was the area where you're supposed to go, you could see water. It's like around the area is like kind of, I think it's a swamp line, a swamp land, and then they have another area where they have water. So I couldn't go that far down to be able to examine it closer. This Saturday, the Lord make it happen that one grew so close that I was able to actually pluck the leaf. So here it is, I'm walking with the leaf in my hand, trying to figure out, you know, what is the whole purpose of why I have to take this plant with me. There was a couple that was passing, and I asked the man, do you know what it is? So he said no. So I was walking, they have like historical information on this place, and I found the leaf, and it's called cabbage. So I decided to go and do a research concerning this corn cabbage, what it was all about. Let me just show you what it was for. It says that the corn cabbage is used for treatment for respiratory disease, nervous disorders, and rheumatism, and dropsy. For the past couple of weeks, the Lord has been impressing me to be familiar with the environment that we live and what abundance and resources that we have to be able to take. Yeah, I have the information of how it's supposed to be used. It literally tells you that you're supposed to basically dry it, like really dry it, and because when you pull it, I actually saw as well that when you smelled it, you know, something told me not to go smell it so close. So, because when the other man took it, I mean, put it close to his nose, he says that it actually kind of burned his nose. And when I was reading, it do says not to be able to, because it has that kind of peppery, but it's not poisonous. And it tells you that the order is especially to be able to alert all of the different insects that it needs to be able to use for pollination. But the thing that was so amazing is that I was impressed to be able to get to know the environment and what it is that they have available in abundance. And as I was walking as well, there were two things that was brought to my attention. We have children of different age, and we have to make them get engaged for the purpose of the Sabbath. So there were two things. There was something that I was trying to be able to bring about to let the little ones, because they have a lot of animals that come through there. We have bears and different birds, and they have names. And you see how Adam actually had to name all the names to the animals? It was to be able to let the little one in their own little mind find out why their name was given to them. What was the purpose of the name? And then for the ones that was a little bit older, from like about 12 on, is to be able to, how to dare to be a Daniel. How could he be able to place his personal life in whatever situation that happens, that he could have a chance to share it with not only the body of believers in the room, but also with the family. Because everybody needs to be able to speak about their experience with God. It is necessary. They have other children that may not have a way to be able to have other family members in the faith, or even brothers and sisters nearby. So if they can be able to motivate the others to be able to get engaged, this is one of the things then that as believers, we need to look around and see how can we best help the brothers and sisters to be able to walk this path. Because it's not easy. I know it's not easy being moved from one place to the other one, and you have to start to get to know or even bring new family in. And at the beginning, it's lonely because you don't know anybody. But the Lord always have a helper in any state that you go to. I just wanted to share the testimony, and also I wanted to share the part that Brother Elder Rob was talking about.
Thank you, sister. And there's no problem with you holding the mic. That's fine. You were given a testimony, and that's wonderful. Are there any other thoughts or comments or testimonies that you'd like to give, dear ones, before we close tonight's meeting? Please feel free to do so. That's what we're here for. And thank you so much for coming and making this meeting profitable. So please, any comments or thoughts that you'd like to share, please go right ahead. I know there's a scripture song that deals with us being God's witnesses. It's Isaiah 43, verse 10. It goes, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Isaiah 43, verse 10. So God has chosen each one of us as his witnesses to let the world know that he is God, and there is no other God on this earth but our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the Almighty God in heaven. There's the mighty Holy Spirit in heaven. But on this earth, out of the multiplicity of pagan gods, so-called, only Jesus Christ is the God of this world. And we're his witnesses to share with others the great and mighty blessings, especially his infinite love, that our Lord God Jesus Christ has showered upon us, proving that he is God and there is none else on this world, including mankind. So are there any thoughts or comments before we close, dear ones? Well, I want to thank you all for coming this evening and for making this meeting a very joyous occasion for me, and I know for others as well. Is there anyone here that would like to give closing prayer to end our meeting? Please go right ahead. If not, I will go ahead and do so. But anyone impressed to give closing prayer, please feel free. My dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for your long suffering to each one of us. We thank you so very much for not rewarding us according to our evil deeds, but continuing to hold us up, to lift us upward, away from self, away from this world, away from fallen denominations, away from man, to behold our Savior and to follow him. We thank you, Father, for protecting us through the first portion of this week. Please continue to protect us and to bring us upward to perfection in the remaining part of this week, and bring us back together to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and in giving praises to thee in testimony and song on the upcoming Sabbath. Continue to lead and guide us. Continue to give us the words to share with others. Continue to give us the strength and the wisdom and the discernment to be able to share our faith at the right time to the right people, and to know exactly what words to say that will lead them upward and not downward. Continue to work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Continue to refine us and to purify us and to sanctify us by thy Spirit. And please, Spirit, continue to convict us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. And grant us the grace and the strength to continue advancing each day farther and farther up the straight and narrow path that ends in eternal life with our God and Savior, and with all the other redeemed and the unfallen universe. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on the goal, to not take our hands off the plow, to not remove ourselves from the yoke with our Savior, but continuing to move forward in obedience to a thus saith the Lord. Thank you that we're one day closer to heaven, one day closer to getting off of this wicked world, and one day closer to seeing our God face to face. Be with us now until we meet again. In Jesus' precious name and for His sake, and the spreading of His kingdom of righteousness. Amen. Well, dear ones, may God be with you until we meet again, is my prayer.